to you by Satanic International Network. You're listening to The Ooze.
Upon the cage, every foul wicked spirit in the host, The Ooze.
20 minutes, that gorilla day, on The Ooze, spread out.
On The Ooze, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
The whole point.
To really tap into adversarial time
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now onto our show.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm TC Downey, and you're listening to The Ooze. So, obviously, tonight I don't have a co-host. This is the second week in a row. Last week, Jason Terrell was kind enough to call in, and we took a little bit of time, and we announced my new website, eminentmind.info. A lot of things going on in my head right now. I'm going to attempt, and I do mean that very loosely, attempt to give you guys a show regardless of any callers or hosts. So I will just kind of, remind everybody I'm not Jason Terrell, and certainly not Paul Valentine. The key difference between the two being that Jason Terrell can, rant for an hour and actually have something very relative to say, and, the latter cannot. There, I'll just cut it plain and dry to what it is. Chat room is empty, so there's nobody to harass to call in, so I guess that means I'm with the show. Couple years ago, I found something out that I never really knew before, and that was that when placed in a certain situation, and this situation being, I'm going to cut this shit and just kind of get right to what I'm saying here. The company I then worked for had asked me to go to China several times, and on my return back one of these trips, they asked me and my partner in travels to prepare a hour-long presentation to give in front of the company. Well, neither of us thought it was a big deal, and it really wasn't. I mean, the preparation for it was simple enough. Gather some pictures, put together a coherent point, create some kind of a rough script, kind of follow through and guide our audience through those points. We tried to be creative about it. We had, created a nice couple of little music video segments to go in with some of the footage we had taken of our recent journey, and we assembled some humor as well, which was to be delivered by me. My normal circles, the people that I see on a day-to-day basis, they know me to be a little bit, playful, sometimes a trickster of sorts. I like to give people a hard time and razz them, tease them, joke with them. This is usually my method for, keeping the level of stress in the conversation down as I'm talking to people. It's kind of one of the skills that I developed in my management style. And it's worked pretty well for me over the years. It makes the conversation easy. I know when the right time is to make a joke out of myself and when the right time to make a joke of somebody else is. But what I discovered upon this first presentation was that I had some difficulty with public speaking. Now, it wasn't any fear of potential, I don't know, ramifications or job poorly done. It was the impersonal nature of these presentations that created a problem for me. So, surprisingly, a few years later when I began the Twisted Radio Project with my then co-host, Gino the Maniac, we kind of developed a holo script, a holo deal. We made him the main host, myself, I was the quote-unquote savage sidekick. It was just kind of all good fun, and we had a good time with the show. I was kind of surprised by this, because like I said, the impersonal nature of it made it difficult for me to really function. And I had the same type of difficulty whenever we hit live air. If it's me and just me talking to myself, it feels very impersonal and makes it difficult for me to really construct whatever objective points I'm trying to put out there, or even subjective points for that. I'm not really sure if Zach wants to be on the air or not, but he's calling in. Either way, I'll go ahead and pull him up and see. What's going on, pizza guy?
What's going on, what?
Pizza guy.
Oh, pizza guy. That's exactly what's going on.
Oh, right on, right on.
Yeah, just driving around, feeding fat people, making fat people more fat.
Right on. Hey, that's the way to go, man. And if the fat people are more fat, they can't catch you.
What's the topic of the show tonight?
Well, actually, I have. Well, first, let me ask you: have you ever heard of a movement called the Sovereign Citizens?
No.
No. Okay. It's something that I'm only roughly familiar with, but I have an article of something that's happened here locally that I was going to actually kind of read to my audience and make some commentaries as we moved along. I did this because, honestly, the chat room's empty. Aside from you, the switchboard's empty, and I kind of assumed that it would be this way. I don't know if the show has run its course or if people just really are not fond of this show being slotted at this time of night. But either way, it works out better for me. I've kind of adjusted my schedule to it. And honestly, I don't really give a fuck if anybody's listening or not anymore. It's kind of a moving archive at this point. So, needless to say, you don't have to worry about hanging out on the air. I'm going to be reading a story for the most part. So, if you have anything, so you have no basic understanding of who the Sovereign Citizens Movement is at all.
No, it sounds familiar, but I couldn't even guess.
Well, because it kind of makes a nice preface to the story that I'm going to read, I'll go ahead and just kind of break it down. I guess there is roughly about 300,000 people living in America that have submitted these particularly peculiar documents, which claim themselves to be natural-born human beings and no longer under the jurisdiction of the United States. They're not subject to the law of the United States because they are a citizen of the world and not a citizen of the United States. That's kind of how these little documents that they put together and file within legal court proceedings work. And what they then do from there has been varied. Sometimes it can be very mild or moderate-mannered type behavior, where they may, not pay their taxes anymore, or they, may not register their vehicles any longer. Sometimes it gets a little more into an aggravated state where there have been some instances where firefights have broken out between law enforcement officers and these sovereign citizens. And law enforcement officers have, of course, lost their lives, and at points so have the sovereign citizens. What's alarming about this group to the vast majority of people is that when they go into a conflict, they go in with the idea that they're not coming out alive, that they're taking their stand and they're giving their life, and they're doing so for the benefit of others as they see it. They believe that our government is an illegal thing, and that it's falsely holding reins of power over us that it shouldn't have. And so our story kind of begins with that backdrop of what the sovereign citizens are. So if you want, I'll go ahead and put you on mute and begin into the article.
That's cool.
Okay. So just hang in there, my man. All right. Let's put Zach on mute. He can go back to not getting a ticket. And I can begin on this story. Now, this story can be found on www.tampabay.com. And all you have to probably do is search the term sovereign citizen movement, and you'll find a article written by Michael Cruz, who is a Times staff writer. This went into print on the 15th of 2011. May 15th of 2011. So without further ado, the article begins with us looking at a picture of what seems to be your everyday blue-collar, semi-yuppie-looking man. And, you know, he's clean-cut, clean-shaven. I guess I should tell you that the actual title of the article is "Linked to Sovereign Citizen Movement, Costly for Police Officer." Now, the caption beside this photo reads like this: "I don't think Tom is some sort of left-wing radical. In fact, talking to Tom, I know he," it should be "I know him," it's a typo nobody ever caught, "I know him, and he doesn't care for politics in general." This is a quote from the Sarasota police detective, Patrick Robinson. He says Tom Laughlin, who is in the picture, I'm not used to reading story time to anybody but my four-year-old, so hopefully everybody gets a kick out of this. But I know that he loves his job and he does a good job at it, and you know why he would do this? I don't know. I have honestly no idea. So this person is in fact professing the stability of the police officer in question here, and saying that, you know, overall he's a good guy and he does a good job, and he's not really sure what has motivated him to do this thing. Now, this thing is the part that kind of is unbelievable to me, but we'll move on into the article. All right, Sarasota. Last spring, a respected detective for the city's police department went to the local courthouse and did something stupid. At the time, Tom Laughlin, a twice-married, 41-year-old father of four, was worried about the unstable economy. He found unsettling politicians talk about cutting the pensions of public employees, and he didn't like President Barack Obama's health care plan. He had some vague notion of wanting to get back to his country's roots. Following the advice of his older brother, he filed a set of strange documents declaring himself a flesh and blood, living, breathing, biological man and an American national sovereign. The documents seemed to say he was no longer a citizen and didn't have to follow any laws. I won Thomas Michael Laughlin Sr. free man, What he thought he was doing, he has insisted ever since, was making a simple political statement. What he actually was doing was affiliating with an estimated 300,000 disgruntled Americans who believe the government is illegitimate. Not all sovereigns are the same. Some file documents and do nothing else. Some don't pay their taxes. Some don't think they have to put plates on their cars, and some murder police officers. This was what happened last May in West Memphis, Arkansas. 2 weeks after Laughlin finished filing his documents, the FBI was asking questions about the larger sovereign movement. In Sarasota, at the police station, people began asking questions about Tom Laughlin. He was a government employee proclaiming that an anti-government ideology. Okay, now, this in itself, I guess, from the point and stance of a business, would be what you might consider to be a conflict of interest. But ultimately, his personal beliefs don't, in my opinion, inhibit his ability to do his job. So that's my little testimony up to analysis up to this point. He was an enforcer of laws who had affiliated with people who break them. He was trained to spot bunk, but in this instance had not. He was trained to spot bunk, meaning he was trained to spot bullshit, but in this instance he had not. He was fired, and this month his appeal failed. The unraveling was complete. Now, this guy goes and he fills out some, what I'm assuming has to be hocus pocus paperwork, claiming himself to be a natural person and free of the tyranny of government. Also understands that he's providing a service as a government enforcer of laws. This statement that he proclaimed was a anti-government ideology, and of course that conflict of interest. But the question here at hand is it bunk that Tom Laughlin felt that, you know, politics were shaky, that the direction this country was going in falling apart, breaking. Maybe he sees, what all the rest of us see. What's really interesting to me is that this dude was fired for his ideas, for his beliefs. He was fired for his beliefs. Now, as far as I know, the flip side of the coin, the argument that makes this dangerous to us is that he's entitled to believe whatever he wants so long as he performs his duties in accordance with whatever oaths he's sworn. The oaths he's sworn to the state have nothing to do with his personal ideologies, and I'm not really certain how we justify that kind of discrimination. I mean, firing somebody over their beliefs, I thought that was why we were free from religious persecution in this country. But let's not break bread too much there and kind of take a further look into what has transpired. I sit here, he said not long ago, and I say, how in God's name did I get here? He's a Sarasota born and raised, the youngest of three Laughlin boys, Jimmy, Timmy, and Tommy. Jimmy is a natural salesman, family members say, for better or for worse. Timmy started with drinks and drugs as a teenager and never changed. He's in prison because of a rape charge that got dropped a battery. Tommy? He liked football and BMX bikes. He once set off fireworks in the woods and started a fire. He drove underage, got speeding tickets. He sniffed Rush, a crude upper. Okay, if anybody remembers Rush from back in the day. I don't even know if they carry that shit anymore, but he sniffed Rush, a crude upper, he said on a job application, but only one time. He was a disinterested student at Sarasota High School, flunking Spanish, English, algebra, and American history. He got his GED. He worked at the gas station his father owned, not far from the police station, and he met lots of cops. He pumped their gas. He sold them dip. He married his first wife when he was barely 18. Their first child came not long after that. So this dude's like you and me. This dude is the average, everyday Joe. And nothing particularly wrong here, certainly. I mean, the author is trying to present that this guy has flaws, and it's shining white through. He's not perfect. None of us are. He decided he wanted to become a police officer. He got hired by the Sarasota County Sheriff's Office as a guard at the county jail. He did that for 6 years. He worked second jobs at 7-Eleven and a mental hospital. His evaluations were good, a model for others to follow. His boss at the jail once wrote, he got hired by the Bradenton Police Department as a patrol officer. He kept applying to become an officer back where he grew up. Sarasota police interviews asked him how he goes about making important decisions. I have all the facts, he said. Don't jump in. They cited his good common sense. All right, so not only is this guy just like you and me, but he's smart enough to know that he needs to have all the facts before he comes to any rational or irrational conclusion. Compared with his brothers, his uncle John Laughlin said he was the best of the lot. The Sarasota police hired him in 1996. He signed an oath, I will at times maintain and conduct myself in a manner befitting a police officer of the city of Sarasota. And I'm assuming this is where the rub is, right here. This little oath. I will at times maintain and conduct myself in a manner befitting a police officer of the city of Sarasota. Well, apparently the city of Sarasota has a distaste for the national sovereign citizens. Laughlin, in 1998, got suspended for 5 days for hitting in the head a drunk, handcuffed inmate who spit on him. He got suspended 3 years later for 2 days for fighting with a fellow officer. But for the most part, according to his evaluations and his co-workers, he was a good cop. He helped disarm a man who shot some people in a crowd. He saved a man who drove his car into Sarasota Bay. He solved some high-profile cases. Among the top producers on the squad, his supervisor said. So, this guy isn't just an average, everyday dude who's rational. This guy is an achiever. This guy, you know, has some honor. I don't know about you, but if somebody spit on me and I was in a position where I could, I might pop him a couple of times in the head to let him know who was in charge of the situation. Especially since, I mean, nowadays, if they're infected with HIV or AIDS or some other, you know, bloodborne disease like that, and that spit happens to enter an open wound on me, I've now been infected. That's putting my life in jeopardy. I think that, you know, in some senses warrants some, excessive force. Now, excessive force not being beat him to death, but that's not what they're saying he did. He popped the guy in the head. The first instinct for just about anybody if somebody spits in your face. Alright, so, moving on. He got divorced. He got remarried. Had another kid. He lost both his parents. Timmy went to prison. Just Jimmy and Tommy now. Then early last year, Jimmy watched a video on YouTube. It was called Meet Your Straw Man. A woman said in a sing-song voice, there's a human you and a paper you, and the government doesn't want you to know. The video led him to information about a man named Tim Turner, a self-described guru of sovereigns, who charges people hundreds of dollars to hear his ideas in hotel seminars called America Can Be Free. Jimmy signed up for a seminar in Jacksonville. When he came home and he told his younger brother about what he had learned, his older brother, Laughlin said, had this knack. He gets a pile of dog poop and shapes it up into something that you will beg for. Laughlin watched him start a window tinting business when he was still a teenager. Cars lined up at their parents' house, $100 a pop, all his life. He has flipped real estate, refurbished junk cars, made money. Laughlin said his brother told him to sell his rental homes at the height of the market. That worked out. Laughlin said his brother told him to invest in gold. That also, he says, has worked out. Now, here's when talking about some document. Now, here he was talking about some documents he had gotten at Tim Turner's seminar and how he had gone to sign them and how Laughlin should sign them too. All right, so your good brother who has, your big brother who has a knack for always finding gold is weighing in here telling you that this is a good idea. Now, certainly, you know, there should still be that level of discretion that Officer Laughlin was talking about prior to, or prior in the article, rather. But for the most part, you know, you can normally bank on your family, or at least so you think you can. So with the minimal research, you know, it's reasonable to assume what they tell you is true. Right? All right. Now, consider Tom Laughlin. He believes it's only a matter of time before the dollar collapses. He believes something called the Amero is going to take over. This makes him not a pessimist, he says, but a realist. He has no guns except for the one work gives him. He mows his lawn twice a week because he likes it neat. He packs his lunches. He prays before he eats. He believes the Bible is the absolute truth. He doesn't try to interpret it because there's no interpretation necessary. He signs the papers. So, American Pie signs the papers. The documents were filed. He talked about them at work and his colleagues rolled their eyes and poked some fun. Shortly thereafter, though, three things happened that made the situation much worse. The first was that a man got pulled over in West Memphis and his 16-year-old son got out of their minivan with an AK-47 and killed two police officers. Now, I'm going to interrupt the article reading here and kind of tell you guys, because I've seen this, on YouTube videos or whatever. Turns out that one of these two police officers happened to be the chief of police or whatever this guy's job was, maybe the county prosecutor, I don't know. One of those two that were killed was this guy's son. Okay, so that's a terrible incident. I've seen the videos of it. It was unprovoked by the police officers, and the level of force warranted by these two sovereign citizens was out of line. But out of line from my perspective. We'll talk about that after we get finished reading this, if we have time. This prompted the FBI to send law enforcement agencies all around the country an intelligence bulletin about sovereign citizens. It's hard to describe the movement because people who call themselves sovereigns assert their individuality in different ways, but they all agree that the government is an adversary. By filing these documents, sovereigns think that they can reclaim something called their straw man. An account with maybe millions of dollars in it that they say the government has hidden from its rightful owners. Of greater concern to law enforcement, though, is when sovereigns use their beliefs to justify criminal activity, like the event that happened with the father and his 16-year-old son in whatever, West Memphis. Now, here's the deal about this thing with this the father and the 16-year-old son. They both were shot to death later in an outright gun battle between them and whatever authorities were tracking them down at the time. And from my understanding, they did manage to kill a couple other officers. All right, so where are we? In Sarasota, when the FBI's intelligence bulletin arrived in email inboxes at the police station, detectives peered over their cubicles and looked at Laughlin. He said, "No, that's not what I'm involved in at all." The second thing that happened was another traffic stop, this time in St. Augustine, in June. Laughlin and his brother were driving their cars on the way to a vacation and got pulled over for speeding. Jimmy told the Florida Highway Patrol trooper he didn't have to show his license or get out of his cream-colored Lexus SUV because he had sovereign immunity. Laughlin told his brother he had to cooperate with the trooper. The episode rattled Laughlin so much he turned around and went home. Jimmy didn't just ignore the ticket. He also sent the trooper documents saying that the charges had to be dropped and that he was suing him for $150,000. He was charged with extortion. Then he sent the trooper yet more documents demanding $8.064 billion in penalties. The extortion charges eventually were dropped only because the state attorney's office decided the documents were so much mumbo-jumbo. The third thing that happened was that Jimmy tried to pay a nearly $26,000 balance on his Visa card using his strawman account. This led to his arrest on fraud charges. Laughlin told his older brother that he was pushing a hornet's nest and to pay the bank the money he owed, which he did. The case is pending. Jimmy filed a notice of withdrawal to nullify all of his sovereign-related documents. Laughlin, meanwhile, did the same, saying in an affidavit, "I hereby withdraw and furthermore disavow, reject, and deny, and repudiate any and all statements, assertions, demands, claims, and all the contents thereof." So, dude's washing his hands of this shit because it's getting too crazy. His bosses called him in for a counseling session. He told them that he'd filed the original documents at the urging of his brother and that he was in the process of terminating his application. The department opened an investigation in internal affairs. This is what gets interesting. This guy's closing down business, as the state's business is just getting started. Laughlin's colleagues had a lot to say about all this. His views, they told the IA investigators, were wacky, very asinine, and absolutely ridiculous. I think our concern, Detective Patrick Robertson said, was whether or not, you know, Tommy was, I guess, stupid enough to post this thing. How, Detective Charles Reif asked, can you be affiliated with this organization but yet be a police officer? A few critical things stood out in what they said. Laughlin didn't try to hide the fact that he filed these documents. He seemed to know a lot about the ideology. He seemed to really believe in it. And almost all of them said his motivation for doing so, for doing this, was financial and not political. To me, one of the detectives said, he was going with it for greed, you know, to make money. Laughlin denies this vehemently, whatever the fuck. Vehemently, I fucking hate that word. In his almost 3-hour interview with investigators, he insisted he was just wanted to protect his pension, not tap into some other source of money. My brother showed me his paperwork, he said. I briefed it. And when I say I briefed it, it means I didn't read the whole thing. What the paperwork was done for was basically to get back to the roots, basically. The Constitution, you know, and under God, and back to the meat of what it really is. Basically, the straw man is owned by the government and through the corporation of the government, and you're trying to separate yourself from that. By doing this paperwork, you're pulling yourself back, saying, no, I don't want to be a part of that. The investigator asked, part of what? The corporation, Laughlin said, the straw man, all that kind of stuff. In his predetermined hearing with the chief, Laughlin sounded desperate. I don't know what to do, sir. My intentions were not to offend anyone. I'm ignorant, I'm stupid, I'm whatever you want to say, because I didn't read it, and it's my own stupidity. The department's disciplinary board's recommendation was a suspension and a demotion. The chief decided that wasn't enough. His verdict, dismissal. All right, so I'm not going to continue on with this article, as there's only about 22 minutes left to it. Or at least I don't think I am at this point. What's interesting to me here is this guy, this regular, everyday police officer, has decided to be an adversity to this system that we're all trying to figure out, that we all feel repressed by, that we are all under the thumb of, so to speak. I mean, let's face it, it doesn't take a lot to look around and see things like the national average unemployment rate is 10% for people 2 years and less. That they don't take any account of anybody that's unemployed for longer than that, as far as I've been able to find statistics for it. So if you haven't had a job in 5 years, well, you don't count in that number. When you put that fact together with the fact that 10% of America is, I don't know, what, 5-6 million people? I mean, maybe I've got my figures wrong. I'm going to go ahead and Google search what, the current census is. Current census, population, let's see, 2010. Okay, so at this point, there is 312,033,459 people in America. This roughly means that, shit, 3 million people are unemployed right now. that are unemployed for a duration of no longer than 2 years. That's not including the homeless folks that I'm sure that aren't figured into these, because I doubt homeless guys stop to fill out the census. Doesn't account for a lot. It doesn't account for, you know, the illegal immigrants working or not working, living off of our system here. It doesn't account for much, I'm sure. The government loves to kind of take and fudge the numbers to make itself look not as bad as it is. I'm going to go ahead. I've got a caller from area code 319. I'm going to go ahead and bring them on.
Hello?
Hello, 319.
Yeah, are you guys atheists?
I certainly am, yes.
Dude, you're the fucking man, really?
Yes.
That's fucking sweet. Why does it say religion then? Why didn't you, like, put atheism, man?
Well, because I'm actually what you would call a philosophical Satanist, and that's slightly different than an atheist, and so it kind of falls in the religious category.
Oh, so you believe in, like, the devil?
No, I don't believe in any external entities outside of what can be reasonably assessed.
Yeah. Did you, like, read Hitchens' books or Dawkins' books or what? Or did you just kind of make that conclusion on your own?
For me, it was just a recognition of the nature of the world and what I was really dealing with. It was realizing that these things... that are, you know, superstitious in nature, are just phenomenon that science either hasn't yet explained or has explained.
Yeah, I tell you what. I mean, faith or religion in general is dangerous and it needs to die for mankind to live on. I really believe that because, I mean, it makes people think, it makes people who don't have all the answers think that they do. And since they don't have all the answers, since there's no gods actually talking to them when they pray, you know, that certainty of a religion and that they have the answers from a god, or that's filled with people with their own corruptions. And I tell you what, science will win. It will win out over religion because it works. I tell you that right now.
Well, see, the problem that you run into there, man, with that is that science itself, unfortunately, is kind of void of a certain emotional aspect that's attached to humans.
Yeah, that's the only thing that they always make the argument. We can't. How does science and atheism prove our emotions and our morals and stuff?
Right, and it's not that argument's necessarily a valid one, but what it is that it disenfranchises the human feelings at a very basic level, and it's something that I don't think that most atheists are aware of when they go into an argument. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you've been listening to this show or if you just popped in and decided to call, but what I'm talking about tonight is a man who was actually discharged from his job because of his beliefs. Not beliefs in an external deity, but rather his lack of belief in the current government situation. I don't know if you're familiar with the movement, the Sovereign Citizens, this
what is
guy...
Is it like a teabagger movement or what?
Not necessarily. It's sort of somewhat in its nature. The premise held behind the sovereign citizenship is that government is falsely imposed upon us, and that we're all citizens of the world by birth, and so they feel that they're being disenfranchised. It can be very fanatical, just like atheism or Christianity or any other thing that people feel very emotionally invested in, and that's kind of the point of the whole show this evening. Actually, is to discuss this idea that a man, you know, can be fired for his ideas. He can be let go for his ideas because his ideas conflict with whatever political jargon is going on at the time.
Yeah, it differs from the majority. If you are an outcast, from, you know, religion or anything, you know, if you're an outcast from the majority, then you're persecuted against and discriminated against.
Right, and it doesn't matter one way or the other. I mean, this is why you won't find me, unless somebody tries to force their beliefs upon me, you won't find me tell somebody else how ridiculous they sound. It's not until the point in which they try to infringe my own personal understanding that I actually will step in and go, wait a minute here, if we're going to talk turkey, let's talk turkey and not fucking deal with this dressing anymore.
Yeah.
But that's what the discussion of tonight is, and you'll actually find most modern Satanists are atheistically inclined. I myself actually, though earlier I made the statement that I was atheist, I can say that because I don't actually believe in some anthropomorphic type being, but that's not to say that I don't think that there are entities that are greater than us or larger than us or maybe misunderstood by us. I think as we look through what science has taught us, you know, molecules come together to form, tissue. Tissue comes together to form organ. Organ comes together to form human. And the cycle just continues to build outwardly like that. So, I mean, I imagine two T cells hanging out in the blood bar, you know, sipping on some, I don't know, weak strand of metabovirus.
Penis liquor.
What?
Fuck you.
Is this directed at me? Caller? Wow. Awesome. The news gets trolled, but our troll did raise up and actually helped to point this into the final direction that I wanted it to go. And as I said, if I could go for a full hour, I would. And so far, we've made it about 47 minutes. Let's check in with our fearless pizza driver, Zach. How's the pizza business?
It's good. Volunteered to stay a little late for some dude because he didn't want to work, whatever.
Right on. Did you happen to catch any of that story?
Yeah, bits and pieces of it because I was in and out. I caught the guy that called in, but now his story was kind of choppy because I was getting in and out of the car so much.
Right on.
Hard to follow.
I'm
not a cigar type of it, though.
Let me ask you a question, man. If you walked into work today and your boss walked up to you and your boss said, look, man, you're affiliated with these anti-government ideas, and since we serve pizzas to the people of this government, I'm going to have to let you go. Do you feel you've at that point been discriminated against?
Oh, most definitely, man. And although it's a right-to-work state, if they fired you for a political or religious reason, I'm pretty sure that you could slap them with a pretty good lawsuit.
Right. What if they positioned it in such a way that it looked like it was a direct conflict of interest, that you were actually against not only the pizza government, but not just the United States, but the National Pizza Authority of the universe. Would you still say you were discriminated against?
Yeah, I would. I would say I was discriminated against, and I'm sure they would fire you for another reason, you know, that's not too, too questionable. Like, you know, next time you showed up 5 minutes late, you're fired.
Right. Well, the gist of this story is that this guy, this Tom Laughlin, He signed these papers off, you know, national sovereign citizen. I'm above, you know, U.S. law, but I'm here and I'm participating. So, you know, you guys can't take my pension away from me, but because I'm not subject to your laws, because this is what he really truly believes, you know, is what's going on. And it ends up costing him his job. This is the Sarasota Police Department fire him for this specific reason. So they fired him for what he believed in.
Yeah, you know, that's a tricky one. I mean, was he a cop?
Yes, he was a police officer. Not only was he a police officer, but he was a good police officer.
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, if you say, you know, you're a sovereign citizen, right, and you're no longer, you know, a United States American, well, does that mean that he doesn't believe that, you know, the laws that pertain to the rest of the citizens do not pertain to him?
I don't know necessarily that that's what that does mean. I think that what that for him meant was that he was protecting the one thing that he had when he was old and couldn't lift a shovel anymore. You know, his pension. This is what he thought he was doing.
Yeah, well, that's fucked up that they took his pension away. I mean...
Yeah, they fired him. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and the whole reason, the whole thing that fueled this for this guy was that, you know, there had been some politicians discussing eliminating pensions for government employees. So no retirement plan if you work for the government. You know, you can, you know, work for the government until they feel that you're no longer efficient at your job. And then when they let you go at age 50 and you can't be hired anywhere else, you got nothing to live on. That's what you get for, you know, putting on a shield and a gun and going out there and dealing with the nitty-gritty of society. You know, something that 10, 20 years ago was considered a respectable, you know, honorable job, you know, of keeping law.
Yeah, you know, it makes you wonder why they would do that, you know, to take away cops' pensions. I mean... I don't particularly like cops, but at the same time, you know, they do form a function in society, and, you know, I mean, deserve that pension because they're dependent on it.
Right. Here's another thing, man. I mean, this is what's really rattling my fucking brain about this, is his appeal failed. So what this is saying to me is that any time the U.S. government feels that you're a threat to their, you know, tyrannical hold on you, they have the right to do whatever. And, I mean, that's been reaffirmed by the Homeland Defense laws that have been enacted over the past few years, you know. All they have to do is declare you a domestic terrorist, and you no longer have any of the rights that you think that you are born with.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of fucked up and concerns me. Like, when I tried to join the Navy, I was denied because they said that my name was flagged as being considered a threat to national security and that I could never get a government job. And they didn't know why. I know why. I was allegedly, my fingerprints came up on some machinery that was used to make fake money, and somebody rolled over on me. But so... yeah, that's kind of scary because now, you know, if they wanted to, they could come fuck me pretty good, apparently.
Right. Well, that's, you know, that would be cause for concern, and I'm certain that you weren't doing anything that was a threat to the security of the United States of America. If you were hypothetically printing off money, it was to get booze or a hooker or something. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what, though? I didn't think it was a big deal, but apparently the government hates when you fuck with their money, and sort of the Secret Service, the FBI.
Well, that's kind of actually, you know, brings this whole another question about this straw man that they're talking about. And I'm not going to say one way or the other that I believe what I'm reading or not, but it is a curious thing when you put it in perspective with your little tale here that supposedly there are these accounts that exist where there's like millions of dollars being held in our name, and this is what they were trying to actually use to pay to pay off of these things, and why his older brother got into trouble. So yeah, the government does hate to fuck with you. They hate it when you fuck with their money. That's one of the reasons they don't like these sovereign citizens. They don't want to pay taxes. They don't want to pay the registrations and titles fees and stuff for their vehicles. They believe that what they've bought, they own, and they don't need to demonstrate that to anybody other than to themselves. And they believe that the government's actually holding a big chunk of money that belongs to them, which is probably actually very true. But again, I have no authority to base that on. So it makes me kind of wonder, man. I mean, is this all a cash ploy? And it's kind of, you know, something that's been building up on the ooze for the past few weeks is this discussion about our current situation, the terror of our situation. And the terror of our situation is this. There is a system in place that allows anyone with the right connections to fuck up your day. And, you know, these people are few. There was a discussion on Sin in one of the forums. I forget what the actual name of the forum thread was, but in that discussion, someone was constantly trying to use China as a model for ethnic purity. And, of course, I had to, you know, take that apart, because in the places where there isn't a diversity of ethnicity in China, those places are stricken with hard poverty and a solid dichotomy of extremely wealthy and dirt poor. So in that same vein, I'm kind of thinking about this, because as I understand it right now, China is the wealthiest country in this world. Someone made the comparison that they had the same domestic production value as Japan, but there were, you know, 10 times the people there. But all the figures that I've seen actually point to Japan's economy's decline and China's economy's acceleration. Now, if China is the richest country in the world, and there's this small group of people at the top holding all the money that China has, because I know the people at the bottom do not have any of that money. They work for sometimes $7 US for 1 week. I mean, that's their week's pay, and it's not like they work a 30-hour week, man. That's a 60, 70-hour week.
Damn.
Yeah, so what does that really say for us, man? I mean, if we're not that wealthy, you know, all this stuff that we have and that we drive around and we do, is it all really just an illusion? A credit-based hologram?
Sure, it makes you wonder, but hey, man, I gotta go. I'm fucking lost, and so I was distracted talking to you, and I don't know where the fuck I am.
Yeah, that's fine, man. Have a good night, and deliver pizza safely.
All right, thank you.
All right, so with just about 2 minutes left to go, it looks like this... sorry, the bitch just said 90 seconds in my ear, but with about, I don't know, whatever seconds left there is in the show, I would like some feedback. If people enjoyed this particular episode of Ooze, if you would just, you know, shoot me a message, comment on the front page, let me know you enjoy this, and this is something you want me to do again in the future. I'm still going to be talking to myself every Saturday night, so till either Dan Dredd, you know, comes back, or I run out of shit to talk about. Stay tuned tomorrow night here on the Ooze. We talk a little more about what's really going on out there.
Thank you for listening to The Ooze. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily represent the opinions held by TC, Zach, Jason, Matt, or any other institution represented by them. If you have been offended by the production of this show, we are sorry, but this is the old expression goes. Tough luck. Special thanks to Dad, the Rocky Daroma, for his contribution to this outro. The Ooze is a Creative Oddity Studios product and is presented by Titanic International Network as its official Blog Talk radio show. Why waste your time with those other guys?